Welcome to Coffee and Catastrophe, Writers on a Caffeine High, episode 11. You've got questions, we've got answers.
I'm William Brian Johnson, writer of Hell to Pay.
And I am D.A. Bale, author of the Deepest Darkness series and the Bartender Babe Chronicles. And you can reach me by going to my site at dabalepublishing.blogspot.com.
And you can check me out at fatherthunder.blogspot.com.
And guess what, Brian?
What's going on?
We actually have some questions from our audience. We have an audience now. Did you know that?
Wow. You guys like us? You really like us?
Oh, give me a tissue. I'm going to cry.
I only have hot scalding coffee.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's good stuff. Here, let me take a sip of mine, too. Tell me what's been going on. How's everything going? You've been talking about Arrested. You've been talking about a YA novel. You've been talking about that little ghosty horror novel.
Yeah.
You done anything?
Yes.
Yay!
I've gone back and I've edited. And I've started...
Edited Arrested?
Arrested. I want to get Arrested done
before I start something.
Yeah. It's too close. It's too close to polishing. I've done first 5 chapters edited. And I've added quite a bit of story to it. I'm having a character shift.
Really?
To where originally the character was the mayor of the small village.
Right. Blanchard?
Elta. Yeah.
Mayor Blanchard.
Herrick Blanchard.
And I've got a good memory.
I'm cutting him back a little bit.
He's
still going to be a main character, but I'm going to start involving his wife more.
Laughlin?
No, that was the...
Dara? No.
Della.
Della. Mm. Sorry, I have a new character with a D in my space opera.
And I've held back a lot on her story. And I've noticed going back and looking at the progression of the story, there's a lot more to be told about her.
I liked her.
And
she
there's there's a lot of fire in her that I need to bring out more in the beginning. And that's kind of what I'm in the process of doing. Going back and explaining more, I've drawn up a really rough map, and I'm making sure that the sun's coming up at the same angle, and that, you know, storms come from the same angle, and there was a lot of things that I've changed. I've changed a few names here and there of places, and so I'm going back and cleaning
place names,
all that
up. Not character names.
Right, like, the tower that is in town has been known as the Citadel, and it's also been known as the Tower.
Right.
And the Citadel was too confusing with the main center of power known as the White Citadel.
Right.
So, I'm going back and changing the name to the Tower.
Okay.
So, and it's just making sure I've caught all that.
Okay.
But not a lot of grammar issues. Uh-huh. I mean, it's pretty polished on that.
Well, I was going to say, we went through it once before.
Actually,
and
I've gone through it several times.
Yeah, since then. Okay.
So, this is essentially just going to be a rewrite telling more story. Not full rewrite. Keeping the main story is still there. I am just changing a few points of view and strengthening parts of the story.
Uh-huh.
So
are you going to go ahead and go into a little bit more with the whole forest aspect?
Because
you were going to explore some of that, and I think that's actually a really good idea, because I didn't get a real good sense of that the first read-through.
In the very beginning of the novel, one of the local hunters is lost, and he goes into this forest, and it's an enchanted forest that is the magic and it's warped.
Right.
And some of the common folk are trying to actually go in teams and create, like, chains of people.
Mm.
And the lead person goes in as far as they can, and then when the forest begins to warp around them, they'll pull them back.
No!
And so...
Oh, and that's what you're rewriting right now?
Yes.
Or, oh, I like that idea.
And I don't know how deep I'll get into it, because there will be some points, and it'll be in this first book that it's looked at a lot more. And the other problem is you have that part of the forest, and then you have another forest on the opposite side of town that is known as the Witch's Forest. And I need to...
Is that the one that Laughlin goes into?
Yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
So I'm going to get a little bit more into that, too.
She's the town kind of medicine woman, mysterious.
She's a midwife.
Yeah.
There's a doctor in town, and that's Della's character, but she's the midwife, and she is also a kind of
I remember
a private...
she and Della had a strong relationship
right,
between
very
the two.
Strong friendship.
Della was standing up for Laughlin.
Right, and magic's outlawed, so the danger is that if she ever gets exposed, that she could be burned at the stake. And
and that's right. And something happened with the birth of a child.
Right.
And
she resuscitated the baby with magic. With a believer in banning magic in the room.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of interesting story right
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. I just, that whole aspect was very, very interesting. I really liked those two characters of Della and Lawfen.
Yeah, and I think what I'm doing is just going back and really strengthening
her character.
Yeah, strengthening mm-hmm. the story there and bringing her character a lot more out to the front than Della, what I've had before.
Della. Uh-huh. I keep wanting to call her Delia. I'm thinking Ghost Whisperer here or something, because one of the characters was named Delia in the early days.
So what are you doing?
Well, actually, what I wanted to say is, what you were talking about just now is kind of in line with one of the questions that we've actually Uh-oh. Gotten from a reader.
Wait a second.
Or a listener, I should say. This first question here.
Wow, long-time listener, first-time writer. How do you know when you're done with the story? This is a difficult question. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was Merle Lafferty on I Should Be Writing podcast. It's one I listened to a long time ago.
Okay.
Picked up recently. She said it's very difficult because they're your babies.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to kick your babies out of the nest. And I really struggled with this on Hell to Pay. Not only when was the story finished, but when could I stop polishing?
Right.
Because the problem is, if you keep polishing it, you're going to polish it to nothing at some point. You're going to make it unreadable because you've edited it so strongly, you could have destroyed part of the main story.
Yeah, really?
And
How many drafts did you have on Hell to Pay?
Oh, boy. I had 6 drafts that I went through and rewrote.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No, but I mean, going back and re-editing, I probably edited that thing 11 times, 12 times.
Oh, yeah.
But it was my first novel, so that it was... Mm-hmm. There was some learning, breaking the teeth that you just really had to figure out as a writer.
Uh-huh.
And I had written something previously before, but not finished.
Right.
So this Same was here. This was really something that I had done and wanted complete. You know, it was interesting because when I shopped it around, people were telling me, wow, this is in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a small publisher pick it up, and they said, we hardly even have to edit this. This is publishing ready.
Something wonderful you want to hear. Too bad it didn't turn into sales.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the things that I typically try to do, you know, when we first started writing, you know, we were doing 10 bazillion drafts. I was like mm-hmm. you. I had stories that I started and then never got anywhere with them because I kept going back and editing what I'd already written
right.
and never finished them. And then when I finally did finish a story, I was, again, same way, probably had 10, 20 drafts, if I count all the many times I went back through and picked at it and added to it or changed something or whatever. I mean, I had so many times that I went back in and did that, and it took about 3.5 years probably for me to actually finish the story.
Hell to Pay took me 2.5.
Yeah.
I think just to write, and then uh-huh. probably another 2 years maybe to edit.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing with me is also I had those pivotal scenes. Mm. You know, I write my plot points. I never write the entire book at first. And I hadn't really learned how to write the space in between. And so I'd go back and I'd keep rewriting those plot points and keep rewriting them. And finally,
because those were what you felt comfortable with.
Yeah, that was a great scene. You know? I didn't want to try to write anything outside of that because it might not be great. But I finally broke down and I'm like, okay, I got to write. Got to write the road here from this city to this city, and that's how I ended up finishing it up.
Well,
which I think, if I remember right, the last, when I finished it, I woke up, I knew exactly how to finish it, mm-hmm. and I was on the computer for 6 hours that day. Mm-hmm. And finally, I mean, when I wrote the end, it was just like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And you knew.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing
is... Get goosebumps.
Yeah. I think subconsciously we know when to tell a story.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know, it's probably not done. What I would recommend is maybe going back and plotting out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you've written so far and where it needs to go. And if you're still seeing that there needs to be more, finish it.
Well, and see, that's something what I do. I have started making myself stop at 3 drafts. I do a first draft, and like I've said before in a previous podcast, you know, it's basically my skeleton.
That's just the bare essence of the story from start to finish. And then my second draft, that's usually whenever I go through and I mark down what I have in my first draft. Who the, you know, each chapter or scene, who the point of view character is, the basic gist of what's happening in that scene, and whether or not action is involved or not. Because, of course, at that time I was writing thriller material. And I like to have some action points,
right.
Things that are happening there, specifically with the thriller, you know, and some in my mysteries as well. But
I think really I did that in my horror too. Mm-hmm. Is you had to have the big scares, the mm-hmm. big points that were, you know, doom on everybody and
freaky, not escapable. Scary. Yeah. Yeah. Your eyeballs hanging out. That's for you, Gary. Oh, no, worms hanging out of eyeballs or something.
The eyeball was hanging out and the worm was going in.
And the worm was going in. Okay, yeah, there we go. That was for Gary. but it's the second draft then whenever I really start fleshing it out completely, fleshing out the scenes, fleshing out the characters, and that's when I typically add a lot more to my stories. Because, again, I may start out with bare bones, it's 35 to 40,000 words, but then whenever I finish the second draft, you know, I'm sitting on 60, 70,000 words, maybe, you know, maybe more than that. And then that final draft is where I'm not really so much writing story, I'm checking for extra words, misspellings, or the wrong word used, maybe in some cases, maybe reworking a few sentences or something like that to make it sound a little bit more clear. And then once I get that all taken care of, I'm done. And I have started making myself do that and just have only the three drafts, because otherwise I have found that I will spend years on something if I just let myself continue to play with it.
And one problem I realized about myself is I'm a pack rat when it comes to writing, because I'll have writing on my computer downstairs, I'll have writing on my laptop, I'll have writing on some long-forgotten laptop that crashed 4 years ago that I have a backup on a
stick.
Data stick somewhere. And so I've started trying to put everything together and making sure everything is well-dated and making it to where I know now what draft I'm on. This was the problem with Aristid, was I hadn't touched it in so long. I had three different drafts of chapter one, and I'm like, oh,
Which one
is it? Yeah. And you're looking at dates, trying to figure out, okay, when did I look at this and what was going on? This is the point I totally rewrote it. And I'm starting to use Google Drive now, because it's the cloud, it's available. You know, I can pull it down to my phone if I have some time and I want to read. I had no editing and typing on a phone. Sounds horrible, but... You know, if you're getting your oil changed, or if you're stuck somewhere for an hour, it's nice to do.
I know several people who actually do that. They do stuff on their phone. The one thing that I will caution people on, you and other people, is the problem that you run into is when you go and you take and you combine all that stuff, if you like copy paste it into a Word document that you've already got working and open and you've already got stuff already in there, you're going to have different embedded fonts, font sizes, font styles, and stuff like that. One of the things as a reviewer that I've seen a lot is people will send their book out and ask me to review it, and it's like one page, you know, it's this size of font, and the next page it's maybe that same size of font, and then it switches to a bigger or a smaller font or a completely different style, or the formatting is all screwed up or whatever. And they're like, well, on mine, it looks fine, you know, and everything. And it's like, well, then you need to go in and look at all the other different formats, because there's some wonky problems here. And that's why I'm a big believer in doing the Smashwords. I know this is formatting, but I'm a big believer in doing that nuclear version that Smashwords suggests doing, just to make sure that if I ever, you know, have some issues with strange embeds or things that I've cut and paste or whatever, that I don't end up with funky font or
that
anything.
Sounds like that needs to be an episode by itself someday.
Yeah, maybe we could do that.
Maybe we should, yeah. I think you've got a little bit more experience in that arena than I do.
But. Yeah, but I'm not seeing it as much anymore. Of course, I'm not doing as much reviewing as I once did either, so.
Which reminds me, I got an email asking if I'd review a novel.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, you heard it here first, everybody. Brian is not a reviewer.
Sorry, guys. I got a really busy life outside of this.
Yeah, I can barely get him here sometimes to do these recordings. So you were asking what I was doing, and one of the things that a reviewer mentioned is in listening to one of our podcasts, he thought that it was great and wonderful that I made a goal of getting out 4 books this year. I got 3 books out in 2016, and I'm going to try to see if I can get 4 books out in 2017.
It's impressive. And
he says he thinks it's admirable, but he thinks, you know, if he's going to be honest, he's skeptical about the quality of a book that's written in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And I can definitely appreciate that, because I've seen some crap that should never have been published or should have been polished up a heck of a lot more and spent a little more time with before hitting that click to publish.
And when you hear about a first-time writer writing a novel at Nano and thinking it's ready to publish, I think that is sometimes where that fear comes from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That it's a first-time writer thing, mm-hmm. but you're a little bit more seasoned than that.
Yes, and I have actually talked to some other writers who have just, you know, horrendous outputs every day, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 words a day.
Wow.
One of the things, though, that I discovered is most of those people, they write by dictation.
Hmm.
And personally, myself, I spend so much time in my head that hearing it verbalized would pull me out of my head, I think,
you know,
as a writer.
The opposite of that is I tend to be a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And I love...
You're really good at that, when you're pitching your stories.
And I love to hear myself talk, so... Oh,
well, hello.
And I know,
narcissist in the room here.
Not so much, but you need a picture of me on
okay.
the wall. The interesting thing is, right now, there's so much text-to-speech software. It used to be like Dragon was the only game in town.
Uh-huh.
And you could pay $200, $299 for Dragon Naturally Speaking 5, and they'd send you the special headphones, and you could, you know, whatever. But now, I mean, I think the Chromebooks have Android's text-to-speech software.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are better than others.
Yes, and I've used a Chromebook before for a little bit of dictation, and I was amazed how well it did.
Really?
I used, I think it's Windows 7 was the first one to actually mm-hmm. offer dictation software, and mm-hmm. it was pretty generic, and it okay. wasn't very good. But now with the Cortana in Windows 10, mm-hmm. it's supposedly much better.
Well, you know, a lot of phones have the text-to-speech
right.
capacity where you can just speak in, you know, it'll dictate your text mm-hmm. that way, so.
It's something I think I'm going to try with the YA novel
mm-hmm.
and try to see if I can possibly dictate that, because that is a storytelling story. That is a tall tale for modern times. Who knows, I might even put a crackling fire behind.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's not Christmas Eve. It's not time for a Yule log. We've already had that one already.
Yeah, but we are dead winter right now, so.
Dead winter, and it's 50 degrees outside today.
Yeah, welcome to Midwest.
Yeah, I know. It's just been weird this year. It's like, what, last weekend we had a big ice storm.
Yeah.
And then we were in, like, the 30s and the 20s and the 30s, and now here we are back in the 50s, and I think it's supposed to hit 60s tomorrow.
A couple weeks ago, we had that really major cold.
Uh-huh, where we were like below zero.
And remember, when tornado season hits, check out ruminationofthunder.com. Sorry, I am so ready to go chasing.
Well, you've got a responsibility here so. But, you know, kind of getting back to this whole thing as far as the quality of the books. One of the things that I've talked about before is in 2016 I made the decision to write 3 books and get them published, and start treating my writing like a business. Right, the Bartender Babe Chronicles, the first 3 books in that series. And before that, I'd always written these dark, gritty, very deep, detailed, interweaving storylines and stuff like that, that just require so much more time, so much more energy, so much more thought. And I realized I'm going to have to get away from that for a little while to build up my backlist so that I can start making some money, you know, on a more regular basis with this whole thing called self-publishing.
Yeah.
And so that's why I decided to go in with these little light, cozy mysteries, those little fun kind of mysteries and stuff like that. I might even actually try my hand at romance. It'll be twisted, I know, but still, I mean, it sells. It sells. It really does. It's just I don't know if I can write it.
That was last, or a couple weeks ago, we did that topic, wasn't it?
Yeah, where we kind of had a good laugh. Like
60, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I killed both of my characters, your characters in the first chapter of the romance I tried. Sorry, folks. Tells me where I'm supposed to be.
Well, but in my four books that I'm going to do this year, again, it's going to be a matter of, you know, some light mystery. I'm doing my space opera. I've already got around almost 15,000 words on my space opera. Oh, wow. I had already started out the year with like 9,000 and something on it. So I've already gotten now almost 15,000 on that. I've gotten a few thousand, maybe about 5,000 on the fourth Bartender Babe Chronicle book. And so, you know, I'm doing halfway decent. I have to admit, I'm not hitting my 3,000 words a day that I was hoping to do, but I'm not beating myself up. I'm figuring, you know, I'm getting a brand new story going, brand new series of space opera stuff, you know, just lighter fare going.
But you're writing.
And I'm writing, and I'm making sure that I'm writing at least a little bit almost every day. I do have probably since the very first of the year, I have maybe 2 days in there I haven't gotten anything written. But I wasn't feeling well those days.
Yeah. Well, the plague's going across the Midwest.
Oh, right now, yes. It's the plague. Bubonic and otherwise. Dadgum mice.
So we got one last question.
Yeah, we do. Do you want me to read this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. A friend who is also a writer asked me to beta read his first novel. I never got around to reading it. I feel bad about that, but now that he's published it and I bought a copy and started reading it, I'm finding a bunch of errors in it. So here's my question. Do I tell him about the errors? If it were me, I would want to know about them, and I'm afraid his reaction might not be positive since I didn't provide this feedback before he published. Your thoughts?
No, dude, save face. Don't ever talk to him again. You're done with him.
Ah!
You're dead in his world. Sorry.
Oh, come on!
So, if one of my beta readers did that, no, I'm joking. Tell him. You know, it's everybody's got lives. Everybody's got things going on. I know sometimes people get that tunnel vision on what they're working on, and that is all that exists.
Yeah, it's their baby, and that's all. That's the way some of the authors act when you send them as a reviewer. Send them a book to review, and they expect you to read it and review it, you know, within a couple of days.
Yeah, and they're emailing you every day. Have you read it yet? Have you started it yet? And are you to this chapter yet? And it's like, no, dude.
No, and I'm going to delete it now.
Yeah. Once again, reason I don't do reviews. Ooh. But, and the other problem is I tend to have life ADHD. I mean, I am in several different things that I do. My kids are in sports, and I'm just a busy individual some days.
Well, good grief. And you're a school teacher. I remember what it was like during the school year. My parents, oh my goodness, they were both school teachers.
Yes, and unfortunately, I'm already planning summer, so.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a lot of free time.
It's still January, and you're planning your summer. Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's just sad.
But yeah, I would approach him and say, you know, mark up the book, give it back to him, and say, here. Sorry I didn't get this done on your timeline. This day and age, it's not that difficult to go in and change it. And if I had knew that I had glaring errors, I would want them done. And when I got rights back to my book, that's the first thing I did, is went back and fixed a couple, I think there were two issues that were noticeable, not really glaring, that were in the book that I felt took away from the story. And so I went ahead and changed those. Final draft.
Well, but that's the joy of self-publishing, though, too. You put something out there, and I get something up online, and I immediately download it to my Kindle, and I immediately start going through and doing another little beta read of my own, and inevitably I'm going to catch one or two little things, and you just go into your file, you make those changes, and you upload a new copy. It's not that hard. And even if you're doing it through CreateSpace for a print version, again, all you do is you go in, you make those changes, you upload a new interior. You don't have to go in and change your cover or anything. You just upload a new interior. You have to wait 24 hours for them to review it. And then you just go in and, you know, click and say submit, and we're done. It's so easy. I mean, you know, maybe apologize to the guy. Just say, hey, you know, life happened. I didn't get to this. But I've since, you know, bought it. Yeah. So, yay, I just contributed to your overall bottom line. Well, I just bought it.
And the fact that you took the time to go through and edit.
Yeah.
I mean, that says something too. Because you can read something and be done with it pretty quick. Mm-hmm. When you sit there and edit it,
it takes a lot longer. Three times as longer, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of work to go through and do that. And, you know, some people, you have to just look at it like, you know, especially if this is this guy's first, second, or third book. You know, this is publishing. This is reality. Do you want a review? You know, you can ask him, do you want a review that comes back and bites you in the butt that says, oh my goodness, this was an interesting story, but it was full of errors, got in the way, I stopped reading finally, and, or, you know, what would have been a 5-star book or a 4-star book is now a 1 or a 2-star.
Right.
You know, because of a bunch of errors. I mean, do you want that? No. Here's the changes I suggest you make. Here's all the errors I found. Go and change them, and woohoo! Then, you know, you can rest easy. You can sleep better that night. And, you know, it's one of those things of, we as authors have to stop looking at our work as our babies. We have to stop looking at our work as this idea that we're ever going to reach perfection.
Right.
In it, and we have to also remember the subjectivity of the reading public.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I know I've had people that have read my book before and said, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. I'm not, you know, I had one critique or some one time tell me it was like Jim Carrey's Mask. And yeah. And it's like, you...
Hell to pay?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you didn't get this at all,
oh,
did you?
No! Not at all! Wow! That's just insane. But I mean, you know, just go to the guy. Tell him, look, I didn't get time to go through it beforehand. You know, if you told him that you went through it and it looked good and you know, now's the time for you to face the music and say, okay, I admit, fine, I didn't do it, but I bought one. I'm now one of your fans. You know, you're a contributor to, you know, I'm a contributor to your bottom line. Just admit it. And then say, here, I would want to know if there were problems in my manuscript. Here's the problems that I have since found after I bought and took time to read it. Here you go. You might want to consider fixing them. If he fixes them, great. He's a smart guy. If he doesn't, then, you know, that's no skin off your nose. You did what you needed to do, and there you go. That's my philosophy.
Buy him a cup of coffee, maybe that'll solve.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, take him out for a hard liquor.
I'm actually joking. Walk into his house, throw the book at the back of his head, and go, dude, this is crap. Here's your fix. We're joking. We joke here.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I think we're going to probably call that a day. All remember, right. If you do have questions that you would like us to discuss on air,
please send it to catastrophiccoffee@gmail.com.
And I am D.A. Bale once again.
And I am William Brian Johnson.
And we will see you next time.
Take care.